Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Yasoda, because the child, although taken to the sky by the demon, was unhurt, and now free from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were extremely happy. Purport. The demon fell flat from the sky, and Krishna was playing on his chest, very happily, uninjured and free from his fortune. Not at all disturbed because of being taken high in the sky by the demon, Krishna was playing and enjoying. This is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. In any condition, Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. He has no unhappiness. Others might have thought that he was in difficulty, but because the demon's chest was sufficiently broad to play on, the baby was happy in all respects. It was most astonishing that although the demon went so high in the sky, the child did not fall down. Therefore, the child had been saved virtually from the mouth of death. Now that he was saved, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan were happy. So the text again. Pradayamatre pratiritya vishmita krishnam cha tasyorasi lambamanam tam swastimantam purusharanitam vihayasamrityu vukat pramuktam gopyascha gopa kila nandamukya ladva punak prapur ativamodam. Translation, again. The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Yasoda, because the child, although taken into the sky by the demon, was unhurt, and now free from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were extremely happy. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. Practically anyone who comes to listen to a class, if they're not familiar with the philosophy, they'll think that, nice story, but it's just mythology. Some child taken to the sky by a demon, the demon falls down, the child lands on top of the demon's dead, and nothing happens to the child. And everyone's happy. They live happily ever after. And the devotees, when we listen to it, we may be thinking the same thing. That, what does this have to do with reality? Therefore, one tenth canto is actually meant for relishing. It's not meant so much for philosophy. Generally, classes are meant for philosophy. And this is meant to actually have assimilated the philosophy in such a way is that when one hears the story, one is actually directly experiencing what's going on with one's spiritual senses, not with our material ears or intelligence. But still, because we should get some idea of who Krishna is and what he's doing, we read through the 10th canto, the 11th canto, well, because the 11th canto is very philosophical, and the 12th canto is even more practical, tells us about Kali Yuga. Still, we read through it because we're supposed to love Krishna. And if we don't know anything about Krishna, then how can we love him? Of course, even appreciating that this is a very interesting story is a kind of love also. Love progresses to different stages. I haven't noticed anyone after hearing this particular passage rolling on the ground and crying tears from their eyes. I haven't even seen one hair stand on end so far. Still, there may be some appreciation. If we carefully read the story, because Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shushusho Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevanat. What we want is Kata Ruchi, a taste for hearing. With our original spiritual body, everything is flavorful, tasty. Everything is pleasurable. Pleasure doesn't mean ecstasy. It means that everything has a different variety of pleasure. Here in the material world, our pleasures are also experienced through the senses. We like to see something which is attractive. We like to hear something which is interesting. We like to taste something which is tasty. We like to touch something which is pleasurable, etc. So even here, we're trying to enjoy rasa, or taste. Unfortunately, trying to taste in the material world is like having a big feast and putting a glove on your tongue before the feast. The feast is certainly tasty, but we may not be able to appreciate it very much due to the presence of the tongue on the glove on our tongue. Similarly, these pastimes are all tasty. Unfortunately, our senses may not be pure. And why is our senses impure? Because they're covered by different varieties of material emotions, or the three modes of nature, which manifests itself as different material emotions. Especially, generally, we're covered by ignorance, which means that we think we're the body, and if we're going to enjoy, we're going to enjoy with this body. We have to eat something, or taste something, or smell something with this present senses, and that is enjoyment. And in mode of passion, we're making all kinds of arrangements. Mode of ignorance, whatever is nearby, you grab and eat. Passion means you make arrangements so that even if it's not nearby, you go and get it, and then you eat it. That's passion. You have a little energy to grab it. Ignorance means there's no energy. Whatever is closest, you grab and try to enjoy. Passion means you make some arrangement to go and get it and enjoy it. And goodness means I'm not going to enjoy it, therefore better not to enjoy it. And I'm not going to make any effort to enjoy it, so I'm not going to make any effort to enjoy it. But I've realized that I'm not going to enjoy, so I can tell everyone else that they can't enjoy either, and therefore I become their deliverer, because I have knowledge I can't enjoy, and you can't enjoy either. So therefore I know something that you don't know. Everyone else is just grabbing things or madly running around to grab things, and the person who knows that it's just a waste of time, he thinks he knows everything. So that's called goodness. But we cannot understand what Krishna is doing because Krishna and his associates are not under the modes of material nature. They're neither grabbing things or running around to get things, nor are they telling everyone else not to grab things and get things. They're actually in a different platform of existence. As Krishna says, Yatro paramite chitam niruda yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyanamiditushati sukhamadyantikam yattad buddhi grayamitendriyam vedi yatran chayavidyam sitam chalati tatvataha yam lava chapalam lavam magnite nadikam tata yasmin sito nidukena gruna pi vichalyate Tam vidya dukasam yogam vi yogam yogasam gitaha. So I'm sure you all know what that means. I won't translate it. Or at least part of it says, the yogi, when he's able to withdraw his senses from the objects and concentrate within, when he becomes purified, then he enjoys himself through spiritual senses. And upon experiencing this, he thinks there is no greater gain. And that place, that situation, he's actually situated on the spiritual platform. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to purify our senses so that we can actually experience what the holy name is, what these holy sound vibrations are. And how to do that? Shushusho. So, su means nice. And shushusho means the idea we're not only hearing nicely, but we're also willing to follow what we've heard. And we're not only willing to follow what we've heard, but shraddhanasya, with care and attention. That is, whatever we're doing, it should be done carefully and attentively. Care is the most elementary form of love. If we don't care for something, if we don't love something, we certainly won't exhibit any care for it. And if we care for something, that's a manifestation of love. Is there anything lower than care in terms of love? Maybe appreciation or whatever. And care may develop into enthusiasm or reverence. Well, actually, reverence is also a type of care. And enthusiasm, care. And then that develops into prema or love. And attention means we're actually focusing our mind on what we're doing. We're not chanting Hare Krishna and thinking about what's her prasadam or other things. We're actually paying attention. We're not doing arti and wondering when it's going to be over. We're actually concentrating on the deity. Or we're reading these books, and when we turn the page, we actually remember what we just read. That's called attention. Like, for instance, not to embarrass anyone or embarrass everyone, who could say, is it written? It's not on the board, who can say without looking at your computer or a little iPhone, whatever you have, who could say what the verse is about? How many can tell me what the verse is about? So if you raise your hand, I'll call on you. Okay, what was the verse? What did the verse say?
To paraphrase.
Yeah.
As best as I can. It's about a little boy who was hoisted up into the sky by a gigantic man-eating demon. He was so huge, but Krishna still found some space on his big chest to enjoy being carried around. Eventually, the monster came crashing down to earth and smashed. And his friends were alarmed. And they wondered how it was possible that Krishna himself wasn't killed. That's to paraphrase.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Wait, what's that? Yeah, and they handed him over to who? To the police. Who do they hand him over to? Mother Jasoda, yes. And what was he free from? What's that? What else? Danger. Anyhow, so I'll read it again and see how much everyone has gotten. The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Jasoda. Because the child who was taken into the sky by the demon was unhurt, and now free from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were extremely happy. So this is very specific. And attention means that when we hear it, we're actually able to hear it. Like, what's the first word that I just read? What was the first word? Yes. The. The gopis. And what was the first sentence about? Who can describe the first sentence? Yeah, the gopis picked him up. From where? Yes. Yeah, inauspicious, the mother disorder. So, these sound vibrations, what are we supposed to do with them? Anyone know what we're supposed to do with these sounds? Are we supposed to do anything with them? How many think we're supposed to do something with the sound vibrations we're hearing? Really? Well, I guess hopefully we'll learn something today. Yeah, it's just sometimes we just may sit in class and wonder how long it's going to go for. Whether, as I said, whether we were talking about some mundane activity that's going on in the material world, we might find it more attractive than hearing this so-called philosophy or pastimes. We are supposed to do something with the sound vibration. Who can tell me what we're supposed to do with the sound vibration? Yes. Remember, that's the beginning. That's very good. Yes, yes. Meditate. And how do we meditate on it? How are you going to apply this verse in your life? How do we actually meditate on it? Well, we take our mind and we paint a picture with the sound vibration in our mind. We're supposed to paint a picture. Picture, not just an ordinary picture, but a spiritual picture. Why did Prabhupada have artists paint these pictures? Does anyone know? Why do we have these pictures here? What's that? Yes, the windows into the spirit, because most of us were not knowing how to paint a picture within our own minds, so we have to get someone else to paint it for us. But that's called not a very high standard of devotion. So, every word we hear is representing an experience, not just a picture, it's an experience. A spiritual experience. Sukadeva Goswami, it's not that he just remembered the Bhagavatam and he was reciting it to Maharaj Parikshit, so he remembered the Bhagavatam. And at the end, they took the Bhakti Bhai Bhava class and Parikshit Maharaj passed. And then the snake bird bit him and he came back as a Bhakti Bhai Bhava. No, it's not just a sound vibration, but it's an experience. But that experience manifests through our inner eyes, our inner ears, our inner tongue, our inner feelings. It should manifest like that. So the first word here is gopis. So we can think of G-O-P-I-S, which is not bad because at least we're paying some attention. But actually, we should see gopis. And what are gopis wearing? According to our... Does it matter? Are they wearing anything? Who thinks the gopis wear something? The ladies don't really know. What are the gopis wearing? They're wearing saris. They may or may not be wearing saris. They may be some, but at least for our mind, we can put saris on them. And what do they look like? Does anyone have any idea what the gopis look like? What's that? Yeah, beautiful. What about their saris? What do they look like? What's that? Colors. Yeah. In other words, there's not. We're probably not going to get a wrong answer. But we should start thinking, what do they look like? Yes. Well, I think in Vrindavan, you don't have too many ugly gopis, young or old. Yes. Well, no. These are Krishna's only a little boy, but the gopis are. Well, this is not Goloka Vrindavan, but generally speaking, they don't really look very old. I mean, some of them look old, but they're all very beautiful. Even the old people there are beautiful. But we should actually use our imagination. Not that we use our imagination, that we start imagining that my grandmother picked them up. No, we should use our imagination. We don't use our imagination in trying to imagine, make an image in our minds what this Bhagavatam is about. We're using our imagination in material ways. We'll think of other things rather than the Bhagavatam. The whole material world is just based upon imagination. Like a boy meets girl, and girl meets boy, and they're imagining that they're beautiful. And then the Bhagavatam comes along and says, well, just peel off 1 inch of skin and then see what they really look like within. But we don't like to imagine that. We imagine this is the goddess of fortune or this is two-handed Narayan. But we could use our imagination according to the Bhagavatam and it would spoil our material existence. Either in a positive way, to imagine what's being said here, see the gopis, see the demon dead on the ground, see little baby Krishna playing on the chest ecstatically. See all the devotees ecstatic. Feel their ecstasy. Because if we can't imagine Krishna, we can't imagine the gopis, we can't imagine the demon, we can't imagine Vrindavan, there's nothing to feel. But when our mind becomes filled with the imagination, which seems like imagination, what's being described, but actually what happens is that our mind is vibrating the scripture. There are 7 types of deities. One of them is the deities made out of stone or metal, etc. And then there's a deity which is painted, such as the pictures. And what other deity is there? In the mind. So how many believe that Radha, Gokul, and Nanda are actually Krishna, Srimati Radharani and Krishna? So, so-called imagine, of course, we don't imagine, believe it or not. We desire, and Krishna will fulfill our desires. He fulfills our desires by, according to how much we deserve, by manifesting himself within our mind. We have no power to produce anything. But we desire to imagine what's going on here. We hear submissively, with attention, with care, with reverence. Then Krishna will manifest himself in some way according to our surrender, according to our eligibility. And we'll be able to see the pastime. And when we see the pastime, we can actually develop an ability to experience what's going on with our spiritual senses. It's our spiritual senses that experience what's going on in Krishna's pastimes. Material senses can experience the same thing as spiritual senses. What's the difference between material experience and spiritual experience? Anyone know? Anyone here ever have a spiritual experience? only one person, one devotee. It's a miracle that any of us are here. We took a wrong turn on the highway and we wound up in the Hare Krishna movement in the temple. How many have actually had some kind of spiritual experience? Don't be shy. We're not taking pictures. Now, I imagine we must have some spiritual experience. Otherwise, what are we doing here? So what's the difference between chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, and Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. What's the difference? Or is it there's no difference? Or I like the second one better. What's the difference? Leads to it, or is it? Does it lead to it, or what's the difference?
In the beginning.
Well, yeah, of course. But the difference is that nitya nitya yama ma, nitya yava yava namana. It's in the Trinavarta team story, actually, that it's ever fresh. Spiritual is always new. And material gets tiresome after some time. Now, one problem is that we don't absorb our minds in what we're doing, therefore we get tired easily. But if one can learn to absorb the mind in the sound vibration, then it'll actually always be new. Like we can go over the verse again, the gopis. The gopis, they were took Krishna from the chest of the demon and from all inauspiciousness, and they delivered him to Mother Jasoda. And we can go on saying that again and again, and if we say that, hopefully we'll start seeing Krishna, we start seeing the gopis, we start seeing Mother Jasoda, we start seeing Trinavarta, and it becomes even more exciting. And who's getting excited? It's the soul who's experiencing. And what are we experiencing? It's becoming more vivid in our consciousness what's actually going on. We're actually entering into the spiritual world that way. So the difference between entering into the spiritual world and being in the material world is simply a question of consciousness. And these books are making it available to us if we know how to read them. And in our daily devotional service, if we do it with care and attention, then we'll know how to read the books with care and attention and actually enter into the spiritual world just by hearing them and using our intelligence. Because it's not only seeing the pastimes, it's not only hearing the pastimes, it's not only even tasting the pastimes, it's the devotion that allows us to feel the pastimes. Because what's going on is simply devotion, love for Krishna, and Krishna's and the love for the devotees. So by devotional service, if we're actually doing our service out of devotion, we'll be able to feel the devotion aspect of what we're hearing also. We'll be able to feel Krishna's happiness and the happiness of the residents of Vrindavan, or their love for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments?